Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IBM Tivoli System Z Storage Management Update, an integrated tool set for better insight, analysis, and control. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session, as well as today's call is being recorded. This teleconference, you'll learn more about the IBM Tivoli System Z Storage Management Solution. It can help you see into your storage environment and prevent costly system outages and audit exposures while saving money on CPU costs. The speakers for today's presentation are Bob Peter, Senior Manager, IBM Software Group, and Kevin Hosozawa, OmegaMon, Product Manager, IBM Tivoli Software. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, Bob Peter.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all a little bit about the IBM Tivoli System Z storage solution and hopefully some of the things that it can do to bring you value. If you'll flip to slide two, the agenda, we'll start out talking about how System Z storage issues can affect your organization. We'll talk a little bit about our storage solution, actually quite a bit about our storage solution, and how it addresses some of those key issues, how it can give you visibility, control, and automation that will really bring value to your storage management. Then we'll talk a little bit about the individual components that make up our Z storage management solution. We'll move on and briefly touch on enterprise storage integration, although this presentation is targeted towards Z storage management. Then we'll have a brief survey at the end, and we'll do some question and answers, and hopefully we can answer any questions that you may have. I'd like everyone to look at slide three and talk a little bit about how storage management can affect your organization. Given the tight economy, the constraints that are on all of our budgets and so forth, we have to be aware that storage can affect a lot of key aspects of your operations. It can hit application performance. It can affect throughput of system availability, all things that can really cost you money if there are problems. In addition, you need to have efficient and effective storage device utilization. You need to make sure that you're getting the biggest possible bang for your buck when you're looking at your hardware and how you manage it. You need to make sure that you're getting good CPU utilization and effective batch processing, and you may need some tools to help you make sure that you are. In terms of disaster recovery, planning, and the actual execution of backup and recovery exercises, you have to worry about things like data loss, regulatory compliance, not to mention the fact of just being able to get your environment back up quickly in the event of an outage. So if we could move on to slide four, we'll talk a little bit about the effects of these kinds of issues. They can easily be masked or overlooked in your organization. You can have hidden performance impacts that really have their roots buried down in storage issues. You could see growing requirements for CPU, for storage devices, and storage media as just a kind of a cost of doing business that you really can't do much about as long as your data usage is growing. You may see planned outages, things like ICF catalog maintenance, as kind of a necessary evil, something that you just have to do as part of your system, or ordinary system maintenance. And to an extent, that's true. There are other hidden problems that can cause you unplanned outages, other types of failures, and can cost you lots of money and downtime. Additionally, you have to be concerned about the data integrity issues. If you're failing or struggling with DR exercises, if you have a lot of manual effort that's tied to DR exercises, those are issues that are affecting you, particularly in this tight economy. One of the favorite signs that I've ever seen is one that says, "I thought you did the backups." And I think we can all chuckle at that, but it's a real fear. It's a real issue. Moving on to slide five. In this economy, as we've been saying all along, your storage administration team is really stretched to keep up. We have the tight budgets. We have tight resources, tight skills. So you need all the help that you can get to make this easier on your staff. Things like monitoring daily, weekly, or monthly activity, just managing all of the various hardware devices that you have in your environment. When you do have a problem, how do you resolve it? How do you find out what's going on? Are there any tools that can point you more quickly to a problem? If you're spending a lot of time on repetitive tasks, doing the same work every week or every month, is there a way to automate that? And is there a way to save money and time doing so? With all of this stress and stretching of your resources, often there simply isn't the time to research what's really going on in your system to understand what your workloads are doing. And if you spend a lot of time on labor-intensive activities like backup and recovery, those, again, are taking resources away from doing what really matters most for your organization. And last but not least, there's learning curve. When you try to move new people into your organization or move people through it into different roles, having a consistent set of tools and practices that can make it easier for them to learn and move and to handle different responsibilities is a real bonus. At this point, I'll introduce Kevin Hosozawa, who will kind of drill into some key issues in Z-Storage and how the Tivoli Z-Storage solution can really help manage those. Kevin?
Thanks, Bob. Okay, so let's start with slide 7. Again, getting into the Z-Storage solution. The first benefit I'd like to discuss is kind of a unique aspect of storage management. We always think of storage management in respect to doing certain daily functions and looking at it from a resource point of view. But application performance really allows you to focus in on the loved ones running in your system. Being able to monitor the application performance, taking a look and evaluating the storage impact to that application, as well as being able to drill down and see alerts, problems that are occurring, navigating down into where the problem is and looking right or left sideways to see what are the impacts that are going on in the IO subsystem that are causing you maybe some pain or slowdowns within your applications. And ultimately being able to implement correct the action, and in some cases being able to automate and make these corrective actions automated such that your correction to these problems can be done at machine speed. Okay, so let's go on to slide 8. The managing of the workloads from an application point of view, I really like this graphic here, which is showing a congested highway. Like a highway, it will be congested, especially when you think about today and trying to get the most you can out of your IO subsystem. You're going to be running, and there's always going to be some congestion going on. But being able to focus on the application workload allows you to focus on giving specific service to the critical workloads running through the system. So, again, if you look at this graphic, and you imagine having an ambulance in there, you'd want this ambulance to basically be able to get better services than some of these other vehicles on the road right now, which are just sitting in traffic. Same holds true with your IO subsystem. Being able to look at it from the point of view of an application workload allows you, again, to focus your energy, your resources, and your time on providing the best services for the appropriate workloads out there. Let's go on to slide 9. If you take a look at the upper left-hand side, you can see where there is a view from one of the Z-Storage management components out there that is providing you with an application response time. In this particular case, we have the capability of showing you a workload, and if there is a slowdown, being able to hover over an augmented red icon that'll then give you some more detailed information. Again, one way of quickly, easily isolating a workload and any type of problem that occurs. In the middle box, on the right-hand side, you see another screenshot that is showing you basically at a data set level the workload that is running through the system. And what you may want to do here is notice that you have the capability with this solution to be able to see what are some of the impacts that are happening across the enterprise for you, and specifically when we're looking at things such as cross-system or shared DASD. This type of environment will provide you a lot of that capability of being able to see the impacts of other outparts. And then finally, you can quickly and easily define these applications. And defining the applications or workload is nothing more than being able to take the address space ID and defining it. And once defined, be able to easily, monitor all the I/O in which that application is doing in real time. Okay, so let's get on to the next slide, slide 10. And I want to now get into a little bit of the device management. And this is more of your traditional way of managing storage that we've all seen. But again, this solution has the ability to also manage your environment or assist you in managing your environment in this route, so that you could really optimize your infrastructure and eliminate a lot of common problems that you see, but also maximize the utilization of your resources and minimize any kind of problem you may have. So let's get on to slide 11. From a peer device management aspect, there are a lot of things that go on in this area that could cause you some problems. The typical thing may be space availability type of problems. But there are also things such as contention, again, within LPARs or SysPlexes, depending on the configuration and how you have your shared DASD environment set up. There's contention problems. Of course, there's specific type of problems that happen with technology, such as with DS8000s, parallel access volume devices, or even striped and multi-volume type data sets. You have very specific type of problems that occur. There's also the area of offline tape storage. And when you think about how much data you actually have contained within the offline tape storage environment, there's tons of it that you have to be very aware of. Again, one of the key aspects is that the environment and the technology today is not one where there is a physical volume and a physical disk and a logical volume associated to each. There's a lot of other intricacies now where you could have multiple logical volumes residing on a physical disk. In some cases, that type of a problem that might happen on a logical volume might manifest itself or a physical disk might manifest itself into impacting multiple volumes, logical volumes in your area, and being able to quickly identify what's going on is very key. The other aspect is control units and cache, being able to look at IO subsystem, the balance of your IO subsystem, all the way from the channel down to the logical volume level. And you also have things such as new technologies with solid state. Again, the solutions that provide this can be proactive so that you don't have to be reactive to certain problems that happen. Being able to be warned and see problems before they occur and cause major problems is very key to the way we believe you should be managing your IO subsystem and storage environment. So let's get on to slide 12. We talked about device management, but on a more daily management capability from doing daily functions, the solutions that are provided are both real-time and historical. They have the capabilities of doing very powerful alerting and take actions and applying automation, automated actions, to certain type of alerts that occur that you define and you decide what you want as being handled automatically versus doing it manually, which you have the capability of doing both here. Again, things such as space and performance problems at the DASB level, being able to address the things in terms of allocation, policy-based allocation management, X37 type of admin problems. You could address a full gamut of HSM administrative capabilities, from looking at real-time queue activity to looking at what happened yesterday during your maintenance cycles to doing audits. Being able to take a look at SMS constructs and see whether or not the constructs that you've defined are working well for your system. You also have the capability of looking at channels, control units, and moving data around and making sure that you have a balanced dial subsystem that is servicing your needs. A key area, again, is tape, virtual tape storage management, being able to take a look at RMM. There's a lot going on in that particular area in terms of reporting on RMM as well as just tape drives, the physical tape drives that are going on in your environment. And, of course, being able to share tape resources is another thing. Sharing tape resources across SysPlexes. So it's taking that shared that tape resource and sharing it across the SysPlex. It takes it up a level in terms of resource utilization. And, of course, looking at the physical tape media, making sure that you're utilizing your tape media as best as possible. And this is all done through being able to have this online toolkit that allows you to do things such as HSM, DFDSS, ICK, DSF, IDCAMs, and RMM commands. So there's a host of different things that this storage management component of our Z-Storage management capabilities allows you to do on a daily function. And with that, I'd like to pass it back to Bob for
a okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. As Kevin mentioned a bit earlier, moving on to slide 13, we'll drill into CPU and storage cost issues a little bit more. Some ways that you can identify and correct some of the hidden cost drains that you're running in your HSM environment to be able to help you optimize your HSM operations, reduce the requirements that you have for storage, or at least check the growth of your storage needs. And I'll talk a little bit about something we call an HSM health check and see if maybe that's right for you to help you understand what's going on in your HSM environment. Move on to slide 14. When you talk about DFSMS HSM, that's obviously a significant workload on your system, ties to a lot of storage hardware devices, et cetera. And when you think about that and you set up your migration policies to move your data down through the hierarchies as it ages, when you look at that, if your policies are too aggressive or too outdated, you may actually be spending more money migrating your data back and forth than if you were doing nothing at all as far as your policy-based management. What our solution can do, and something that our HSM health check can help identify, is if you have issues like this, something that we call data set thrashing, you can find and help correct these issues. In addition, our solution provides tools that let you do a what-if analysis so that you can preview any changes you make to your migration policies before you commit them, so you'll know in advance what kind of effect you should expect on your system results. This will allow you to improve your batch execution You'll have a lot of less, you know, reduced wait time for data, as well as reducing the physical CPU cost for moving data back and forth unnecessarily within your system. Move on to slide 15. With your HSM system, a lot of times you can wind up over a long period of time with a lot of old unreferenced data sets that DFSMS HSM has to try to manage. This old unreferenced data can be eliminated if you can identify it, and that'll free up a lot of storage resources. We have done HSM health checks for people in the past and found areas where tremendous amounts of old data, oftentimes 5 years, 10 years old, was sitting out there and could be eliminated, could have been migrated away or archived, and freed up a lot of storage resources for those organizations. Moving on to slide 16, another way that your HSM system can be costing you money is just by looking at your nightly execution cycles. If you see a lot of errors in your executions, they can tend to get lost in the big haystack of work. They can be that little needle. But if you have the same error that's happening night after night after night, every time it runs, every time it happens, it costs you money. Our solution can help pinpoint, and in many cases, if not most, can automatically correct any underlying issues that are causing those HSM migration failures or errors, both in migrations, backups, recalls, et cetera, that are silently seeping your organization's budget, you know, on a monthly, weekly, and even daily basis. The bottom line in the HSM system that we use as kind of a rule of thumb is that if it's been 5 years or longer since you've done a deep analysis of your HSM environment, done HSM audits, and so forth, or if you've done a lot of merger and acquisition activity in your organization, had a lot of data center consolidations, or some really major changes in your line of business operations, it's probably a good time to ask for an HSM health check and see whether you have any of these silent drains going on with your HSM environment. And to do that, you should contact your IBM Tivoli representative or your IBM SystemZ software representative. Move on to slide 17, and we'll talk a little bit about some storage-related outages, in particular outages that can be related to the ICF catalog. Your ICF catalog is one of the most critical things that's sitting out on your storage system. It's a single point of failure if anything happens to it. These catalog failures are rare, but when they occur, they're really deadly. They can cost you an awful lot of unplanned system downtime and require that you take applications offline. Secondly, you may have needed catalog maintenance. Every catalog needs maintenance over time. It may need to be merged, split, reorganized, et cetera, and all of that can cause application downtime if you don't have the right tools in place to help manage that. Any recovery delays from either this kind of planned or unplanned downtime are costly. And if you actually had an outage or had a catalog corruption issue, there's a period of time that it takes to actually recover that catalog, bring it back online, and get your production processing back on, and all of that costs money. Move on to slide 18 really quickly. This slide shows a very common scenario, and I'll draw your attention to the column near the top where it says cumulative percentage. What this really shows is that for this customer, and as I said, this is a common scenario, roughly 60% of their applications are referencing their top two catalogs. Obviously, those are a very high risk single point of failure if there's nothing in place to protect those catalogs or make sure that they stay healthy and make sure that they stay up and running. Move on to the next slide here. What you want to do is you want to be able to avoid catalog issues. rather than experience them and try to recover. You need a tool, and our solution provides tools that give you a safe, reliable, and easy backup and a fast forward recovery for your catalogs and vSAM files. And what that means is that not if you do have an outage and you do need to recover, it will be done quickly and will also pick up changes that should have been made to that catalog during its downtime, so that when you do get back recovered, you will be ready to go and you'll be at current status. What our solution does is it helps protect the catalog's structural integrity. It will give you alerts in advance when things start to go wrong. If it sees a potential problem in your catalog, it'll give you an alert and hopefully give you the chance that you need to correct that error or that problem before it results in an outage and having to take your catalog offline. It can reduce application downtime by allowing you to do a lot of the maintenance that you need to do while your catalog remains online. Obviously, that is a performance hit if you're doing work on a catalog online. Sometimes a performance hit is preferable to an actual outage. Our solution also provides what-if simulation, so that if you're getting ready to take an action on a catalog, if you want to do a merge or a split or something like that, you can simulate the effects, preview it, and see, is this really what I want to do? And with all that, it gives you an easy-to-use interface that makes it simple to see what's going on in your catalog environment and helps improve your staff's productivity. With that, I'd like to move to the next slide and talk a little bit about data integrity and backup and recovery or disaster recovery activities. Backup and recovery really sounds like a very simple process, and I guess at its core it is. You have to identify what needs to be backed up. You need to do the backups, preferably only once so you're not duplicating anything. You need to verify that all your backups are there and ready for a quick and accurate recovery at either locally or at your DR site in the event of either a local outage, say a file corruption, or a major disaster, fire, flood, electrical outage, or the like. Move on to the next slide, 21. When you talk about disaster recovery management, there's a couple of things to consider. When you have to recover a failed operating environment, this often includes huge amounts of data manipulation that has to be done. Before that can occur, you've had to move data out for backups, possibly make tapes and move them around to different locations so that they're safe. You have to be able to do your recovery process, do it quickly, hopefully automated, to eliminate human error. You need to be able to recover your applications by priority so that you're not bringing up your least important application first. The things that are most important to you and most critical obviously need to be brought up first and fastest. Currency is a key factor. You have to make sure that you have all the right stuff backed up at all the right times. You need to think about the time that's being taken for running those backups as well as recoveries to make sure that that's efficient. You need to be able to try and reduce any duplicate backups that are being done. Obviously, redundant backups cost both CPU, storage, and media costs. And you even need to think about things like mirrored environments. Many organizations today are putting in place mirroring situations or mirroring solutions to ensure fast failover so that in the event of a disaster or some type of outage, processing can continue more or less unaffected. Those are great, but the one vulnerability that a mirrored solution really has is a data corruption type issue in which data is simply mirrored, bad data is simply mirrored from one place to another faster. And so you still need to think about having a backup and recovery process in the event of a corruption issue. That's really important because most problems really have their roots in people issues. You know, human error, failed processes, et cetera. And big events like fires, floods, electrical outages, tornadoes, and the like are actually much rarer than the human-introduced errors, which can result in corruption. So we'll move on to the next slide, 22. So effective disaster recovery really depends on doing several things. First of all, you need to identify what needs to be saved, what is critical data. And our solution does that automatically. It reads information from your job schedulers and other sources to determine the critical files that need to be backed up. The second thing is that you need to obviously drive the backups and make sure that those planned backups really do occur. Our solution actually does provide a method to a kind of a closed loop method to be able to identify the data that needs to be backed up, watch the backups, make sure that they occur, and to be able to report really in real-time manner the status of all of your backups. And it will identify automatically any backups or any data that is not backed up that is supposed to be backed up so that you can take corrective action. This can help eliminate not only outages or struggling with DR exercises or real DR efforts, but it also can help you with audit and compliance issues to be able to prove conclusively and quickly that you are ready for an event should one occur. Our solution also provides some added benefits in that it can help you eliminate duplicate backups and reduce the chances that when you do a recovery, you're actually back-leveling some of your data with one of those old, bad, duplicate backups. With that, I'll turn it back quickly to Kevin to talk a little bit more about our solution.
Great. Thanks, Bob. So the last topic in terms of this would be along the lines of storage administration productivity. Really, when we talk about these solutions, what we're doing is we're talking about tools and how they're going to help you be productive and efficient in doing your daily functions in the storage management area. One thing to really consider here, though, is that storage is not a siloed environment. So many places I've seen turn around and handle storage such as being a siloed environment. But really, when you look at it, storage is a common denominator between multiple DOS systems. Your data has to go somewhere. And your storage and your IL subsystem affects a lot that goes on in terms of the workload running through your system. So let's go on to slide 24. In previous slides that Bob and I have gone through, you would have noticed that there are pictures of screenshots of our storage tool, our storage product out there. The key to integration has to do with something called the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or what we call TEP. This user interface is really key to a lot of areas. And here on slide 24, you can see the TEP interface. It is a highly customizable workspace that allows you to create visual charts based upon tabular reports that you have on the bottom of the screenshot here. But, again, it's highly customizable, so you could have multiple tabular reports or do things such as split, go full screen on any of these things. But if you really look at concentrating on the left-hand side, what you see in the upper left-hand side is the navigator. This particular navigator is providing you to see all the TEP-enabled products that are in this particular, hooked up to this user interface. So you could see the Z-Storage components and be able to see what's going on in each one of those areas. Another way of integrating your information. if you look on the right below that where it says intelligent linking, you see these blue links. And in the TEP interface, these blue links allow you to link from one workspace to another. They could be logically linked, such as being able to take a look at pieces of information in your IL subsystem, let's say something such as response time for certain type of volumes or devices, and then being able to link over into something such as taking a more deeper view of maybe catalogs that are residing on those volumes. Again, a seamless way of being able to leverage all these storage components. Going on to slide number 25. This is another screenshot, again, of the TEP interface, but once something such as an alert has or a situation has been fired, from here what you can see is that by drilling down, you'll get this screen, which will give you the initial situation value that caused the alert to be triggered, but also what is the current situation right now. Are things getting better or are they getting worse? So you have a snapshot of what caused the problem and a view of what's going on right now. In the lower left-hand side, you see that there's something called a take action box. From there, you can automatically turn around and have an action keyed off of a situation alert that was fired, or you could take action yourself here by issuing or tapping maybe automation commands or scripts, or for that matter, even issuing OS commands. And on the lower left-hand side, you have something that's called expert advice. And expert advice here allows you really to help transfer knowledge. There is what is considered product-provided expert advice that comes with any situation that's fired. But remember, you're creating these situations and alerts. These alerts, again, are something that happens in your environment, and you may know exactly what are the steps you need to correct these alerts. While this expert advice box allows you to put customized text, or for that matter, links, into here so that when there is a problem, if you aren't around, you might be able to have information or knowledge put in here that somebody else would be able to maybe handle this problem. Again, multiple ways that the TEP interface will allow you to hopefully be more productive and efficient in your work. And with that, I'd like to then pass it back to Bob to wrap up with some other things.
Thanks, Kevin. If we'll move to slide 27, what you see here is a view of the components in our Tivoli Z storage management solution. At the center and at the core is really the ability to manage and monitor your storage infrastructure. And then sort of moving from left to right in a clockwise fashion from the bottom, we have capability to back up and recover and maintain your ICF catalogs. We have the ability to ensure healthy, efficient HSM environments. We provide reporting and management capability for HSM environments. We allow you to identify, track, backup, and recover all of your critical ZOS application data. We give you the ability to manage your storage allocations and even prevent storage allocation-related add-ins in your batch job operations. We give you the capability to share tape devices across Sysplexes and to be able to optimize the efficient utilization of your tape media. So if we move on then to slide 28, we'll actually put names to those functions. In the center of all this is Tivoli Omegamon XE for storage on ZOS, which really provides the hub or the linkage with all of these tightly integrated components. The second one, again, moving left to right in clockwise fashion, is Tivoli Advanced Catalog Management for ZOS, which is what we use to make sure that all of your catalogs are backed up and healthy. Next is Civily Advanced Audit for DFSMS HSM, which gives you the capability to run fast, efficient audits and make sure that you can automatically correct many, many types of the HSM errors and provide expert guidance on how to deal with others. Next is Advanced Reporting for DFSMS HSM, which gives you a lot of capability to report on many, many various aspects of your HSM operations, to be able to show you where you are wasting resources with unnecessarily migrating data, either putting it down in your hierarchy too quickly or recovering too often, and to be able to help you correct those. Next is Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery for ZOS, which manages all of the key aspects of your backup and recovery operations. Next is Tivoli Advanced Allocation Management for ZOS, which handles the allocations and ABAN prevention. Automated Tape Allocation Manager, which allows you to share your tape resources across six SysPlexes or across machines which are not part of SysPlexes. And Tivoli Tape Optimizer, which gives you a lot of capability to stack and copy data efficiently that's residing within your DFSMS RMM environment. And moving on to slide 29, as we've mentioned earlier, all of these components are tightly integrated and tied together with the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, providing you with a common window not only into your System-Z storage solution, but also into other related systems. As Kevin had mentioned earlier, you can look into DB2 or CICS and see the kinds of interrelationships among those subsystems and with your storage environment that can help you make your operation more efficient and help you solve and prevent problems. So we've talked a lot about System-Z storage, and that's really the thrust of what this discussion is all about. But we have additional capabilities that I wanted to mention this morning. On slide 30, we'll talk just a little bit about enterprise storage integration. So our customers are coming to us now and they're saying, okay, I understand you have capability to manage distributed storage environments, you have capability to manage System-Z storage environments. What can you do to help with cross-platform issues? And so today, using a Megamon dashboard edition, we can create some very powerful dashboard views of storage information that span both System-Z and your distributed environments. And that's increasingly important as you try to optimize your workloads across the various platforms that your organization works on. You may have individual DASD devices and so forth that are shared across distributed and System-Z systems, and you need to be able to see how those things are interacting and how they're operating. So on this particular sample view screenshot that we have here, this is taken from a Megamon dashboard edition, and it can show information extracted from a Megamon XE for storage, advanced catalog management. From the distributed side, it can pick up information from Tivoli Storage Manager, Tivoli Productivity Center, from advanced backup and recovery for ZOS, from advanced audit, and many more. Your imagination is probably the limit for how you can combine information to provide this kind of powerful view into your enterprise. And again, this dashboard is something that's possible. It's highly customizable and can be tailored to meet your own needs. With that, I'd like to come back and kind of wrap up what we've talked about this morning. Moving on to slide 31, talk a little bit more about the overall solution. Again, we address the key storage management issues that are affecting your organization, things like application performance, efficient device management, help you find ways to cut costs in your HSM environment, help you make sure that you have a healthy catalog environment and everything is backed up as it needs to be. Make sure that you can preserve your data integrity and build backup and recovery capability for your organization. And this is probably the most important in all of this, is the ability to do your storage administration much more efficiently, to be able to move seamlessly through the different components of the storage solution, to be able to see at a glance what's going on in your environment, to be able to automatically correct problems, the ability to drill down and do research and analysis for more complex problems, and capture expert advice from your gurus that can help benefit your entire organization. This solution is tied together through an easy-to-use GUI interface that's shared with all of our other Tivoli key system management tools, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. That makes it more efficient for your staff, not just within the storage environment, but also across your organization as a whole. It gives you the visibility into your storage environment you need to manage things day-to-day. It gives you the controls that you need to make sure that things are going the way that you intend them to, and to make corrections and fine-tuning changes as you need to. It eliminates a lot of manual activity. It makes repetitive or programmable actions possible, and that ties back into the theme of being able to do things more efficiently and effectively. The key thing that we see here is that it gives you an integrated management methodology for your entire zStorage environment, of which System Z storage is really just a part. And as we had mentioned before, it reduces your learning curve by giving you a common set of tools and processes, that things are done the same way in different areas of your storage environment. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for attending and listening this morning. I'd like to open it up, and we'll do a quick survey, then we'll come back with any questions and answers that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob and Kevin. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a Q&A session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Our first survey question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause to assemble those results. Thank you. We'll move to the next survey question. What was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. We'll pause again to assemble the results. Thank you. We'll move to the next question. How important is the ability to use a single set of tools and processes to manage storage for both System Z and distributed platform environments? If it is very important, press star 1. If it's important, press star 2. If it's somewhat important, press star 3. If not important, press star 4. We'll pause for a moment. Our next survey question is, how important is it to have a 3270 interface to your System Z storage management solution? If very important, press star 1. If important, press star 2. If somewhat important, press star 3. If not important, press star 4. We'll pause again for just a moment to assemble the results. Thank you again. We'll move next to, how important is it for your system's key storage management solution to provide a common interface enabling cross-functional teams to collaborate seamlessly on solving complex issues? If very important, press star 1. If important, press star 2. If somewhat important, press star 3. If not important, press star 4. We'll pause for a moment. Thank you again, everyone. We'll move on to our final survey question. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference for today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no info is desired at this time, press star 2. We'll pause finally for one more moment. And that does conclude our survey for today. We want to thank you all for your participation. Now let's move on to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. If you're on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll pause a moment to assemble the queue, and while we're doing that, I'll turn the call over to our speakers while we wait for questions.
We'd like to thank you all very much this morning for your time and attention, and hopefully if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer those.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, or if you have a comment for today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We'll pause again for just a moment. And at this time, it does appear that there are no questions. I would like to turn the conference back to Bob Peter for any final or additional comments.
Okay. Well, thank you all. If you do have questions, please get in touch with your Tivoli representative or your Tivoli or your SystemZ software sales representative, and we'll be happy to provide any further information that you may need or want. And again, we appreciate your time very much this morning. Thank you.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference call. We'd like to thank you for your participation.